Shabbos Daf Ches. So Abaye says, if you're in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid and you throw a basket that's made of reeds into the public domain, if that basket is 10 tefachim high and it's 6 tefachim wide, then you're pater because that's considered transferring a domain because it has the dimensions of a domain, a rishos, but it's not considered like you transfer an object. However, if it's not 6 tefachim wide, then you would be chayav because then you're just transferring an object. Rava says, even if it's not 6 tefachim wide, it'd be putter because part of the reeds are going to, you know, it's not going to be perfectly held together, so part of the reeds are going to extend beyond 10 tefachim because the thing is 10 tefachim high already. So when you transfer it, parts of the reeds will stick up above 10 tefachim, and then they would be in a makom putter because we know that above 10 tefachim is not considered part of that domain in terms of for the public domain, and therefore the object has to be fully in the domain to be chayav, and since it's hanging outside of the domain and it's in the makom pater, you would not, that's why Rava says you're pater even if it's not 6 tefachim wide. Now another case, if you flipped over this basket and you threw it face down into the public domain, if its height is 7 tefachim and a little bit, you'd be chayav because then you're transferring an object. However, if it's 7.5 tefachim high, you'd be or more, then you'd be putter. Because when you throw it, so basically you're throwing this object, and once it's 3 tefachim above the ground, then it's going to be 10.5 tefachim in the air. Because 3 tefachim off the ground, 7.5 high, it's going to be 10.5 tefachim off the air. And we look at it as though of the concept of lavud, that since it's 3 tefachim from the ground, we just look at it as if it's touching the ground. So it's basically touching the ground at the bottom, but at the top, it's extending past 10 tefachim. And we know that if 10 tefachim above the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is a makom pater. So therefore, we view it as though this is a makom pater, and that's how you'd be pater if it's 7.5 tefachim. And the reason we only apply lavud to when it's turned over is because lavud only applies to partitions, to walls. So this only applies when it's face down. If it's face up, then the bottom is just, you know, it's just a base. It's not actual walls. However, if Ashi says, even if it is 7.5 tefachim, you'd be chayav because these walls are meant to hold things in. They're not, you know, they're not meant to be face down. So you can't really apply lavud to this because these are not, you know, regular walls that would be, that would fall under lavud. Ula says, if you have a post that's 9 tefachim high and it's in a public domain and people adjust their loads on it, if you throw an object on top of that, you'd be chayav because it's considered part of the public domain. And this is basically the general principle. If it's less than 3 tefachim, then people just walk on it. So it's part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which we talked about on Daf Zion. If it's between 3 and 9 tefachim, then there's people are not going to be walking on it because it's too tall to walk on it, but they're not going to adjust their loads on it because it's too short. So therefore, it's not part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And once it's taller than 9 tefachim, people are going to use it to adjust their loads and their burdens. So therefore, we would consider it part of the public domain. And you can't throw things on top of it. So Abai says to Rav Yosef, do we apply the same thing to a hole that's 9 tefachim deep? Is this considered a part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim because people occasionally will use it? So Rav Yosef answers, yes, we apply the same rules to a hole that's 9 tefachim deep is considered part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Rav says, no, we don't apply the same rules to a hole because of forced use, meaning if you use something, you know, you're going to use this pit as storage, but it's going to be very difficult. You're going to have to go down into it and come back up. So a difficult use is not considered, obviously, a normal use. And therefore, since it's not a normal use, it's not going to be considered part of the public domain. If Adbar Masna challenges Rava, from this brisa, if one has a box in a public domain and the box is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, you're not allowed to carry into it or out of it. However, if it's less than 10 by 4, you can carry into it and out of it. And the brisa concludes by saying that the same rules apply to a hole. So isn't this saying to a pit? So isn't this saying that just like a box, which is less than 10 tefachim, is considered part of the public domain, and therefore you are allowed to carry into and out of it in the public domain, so too a pit, which basically means if you have a pit which is 9 tefachim, it's considered part of the public domain. And Rava, you just said it's not considered part of the public domain, but this seems to say it is part of the public domain. So now that statement that we have the same rules by a pit, by a hole, is only talking about the beginning, that a pit, which is 10 by 4 tefachim, 10 deep and 4 wide, is its own private rishos, just like the box. So Rav Ad Bar Masna tries to challenge him again from this brisa. It says, if a person wants to make his residence for Shabbos in a certain place, in the public domain, so he's going to put his Eruv, he goes to put his Eruv in a pit near him. Basically, we're talking about an Eruv Tchumen, which is, you know, you set up a little bit of food 2,000 amos away, because you're only allowed to travel within the Tchum, within 2,000 amos on Shabbos. However, if you make a place for Shabbos 2,000 amos away, you put some food there and things like that, you could go in on Shabbos, you could travel to that place, which is 2,000 amos away, you know, you eat the food, whatever, and then you could travel another 2,000 amos from the place where you set up your Erev Tchumen. So let's say this guy is setting up his Erev Tchumen in a pit. So if the Erev is above 10 tefachim in that pit, then it's a good Erev, it's kosher. However, if it's below 10 tefachim, then it's not a good Erev. So if you're going to say that we're talking about a pit that's more than 10 tefachim, and when it says above 10 tefachim, it means that you raised it 10 tefachim above the ground of the pit. And when it says it's 10 tefachim below, that means that you lowered it 10 tefachim down from the top of the pit. However, either way, this Eruv is in its own Rishus HaYachid, because the pit has the necessary dimensions to be its own domain. And therefore, the person is not allowed to take out the Eruv on Shabbos, because he's in a public domain, and he can't go down and bring out this Eruv from inside the private domain. And the whole point of the Eruv is it has to be something accessible. It has to be that you're able to eat from it on Shabbos. However, if it's in a separate domain, it doesn't make a difference if it's above or below 10 tefachim. If it's in a separate domain, it's not accessible to you, you can't get it. So it must be saying that we're talking about a pit which is less than 10 tefachim. And the Braisa says that this is good, which means that if the Eruv is in the pit, you're allowed to take it out to the public domain, which implies that a pit which is 9 tefachim, or less than 10, is still part of the public domain. And this seems to say that forced usage, meaning a pit which is 9 tefachim deep, is considered usage. And this is basically disproving Rava, because we're looking at the pit as if it's part of the same public domain, because a pit that's 9 tefachim deep, you're allowed to go in and take it out of the pit and into the Rishus HaRabim, which implies it's the same domain. So Rava brings two answers. His first answer is that both him and his Eruv are in a Carmelis, so that's the reason that he's allowed to take it out. It's not, you know, private domain, public domain, it doesn't matter. The reason he's allowed to take it out is because they're both in a Carmelis. And the reason it says that it's in a public domain in the Braisa is because it's not a private domain. So it's not meaning that it's actually in a public domain, it's just not in a private domain. And the other answer he brings is that really the person's in the public domain and the Eruv is in a Carmelis. And this is going like Rebbe, who says any Melacha Derabanan can be done during Bein HaShemashos, which is twilight of Friday. Which means that transferring from a Carmelis to a public domain is only an Iser Derabanan. And therefore, since Shabbos technically starts at Bein HaShemashos, however, according to Rebbe, you're still allowed to do Isurei Derabanan in that time. So technically, at that time, when Shabbos started, your Erev Tchumen was accessible to you. And for an Erev Tchumen to be good, it has to be accessible to you at some point over Shabbos. And since the Erev Tchumen was accessible at Bein HaShemashos, then it's good for all of Shabbos. And Rava says, I'm not just rejecting your proof by saying this. This is actually my position. So we have a Mishnah that says, if there's a shallow puddle in the Rishus HaRabim, and the public always goes through it, if you throw something into it, you'd be chayav. So how deep because it's considered, you know, its own domain. It's considered part of the public domain. So how deep does it have to be? Less than 10 tefachim. And then the Braisa reiterates a shallow public pool that people go through. If you throw into it, you'd be chayav. And so the details of the case aren't so important, but this is what Rava brings out of this. So the reason that it says a shallow pool twice is because once is talking about for the summer and one is talking about for the winter, because if it only said in the summer, you would have thought people use the puddle to cool off so they don't mind walking through it. But this is not true by the winter when it's cold. And if it only talked by the winter, you would have thought people don't mind stepping through it because they're already filled with mud and they'll get the mud off and it's fine, they're already dirty. But this is not true by the summer. So therefore, it taught a shallow puddle twice, both for the summer and the winter. And the reason that it teaches going through the puddle twice is because it's teaching that only an inconvenient passage is considered a passage. However, consistent with Rav's opinion, this is teaching that an inconvenient usage is not considered a usage, meaning if it's not a convenient use, like this puddle, people don't want to walk through it, it's not considered part of the public domain. Therefore, the puddle is not part of the public domain. Rabbi Yehuda says, and that's why you would be chayav, because since it's not part of the public domain and you threw something into it, into the public domain, you're throwing it into a different domain. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you have a bundle of reeds and you roll it over one end at a time, meaning you stand it up so that the bottom is still touching the ground, then you flip it over, then you stand it up, flip it over, and you kind of roll it down, then you're not chayav until you pick up both ends of it. It has to be totally removed from the ground. Going back to our brice that we had a few daf ago, it says if you're standing on the threshold, you can give and take things from the owner, and you can give and take things from the poor person. So what's the status of the threshold? Ah, it must be a public domain. However, if it's a public domain, how is he allowed to take things from the owner who's in the private domain? Okay, so it's a private domain. But if it's a private domain, how can he take things from the poor person who's in the public domain? So rather, it's a karmelis. Oh, but that still doesn't make sense, because how can he outright take objects from different domains? It's still an usher derabbanan to transfer from domain to domain with a karmelis. So rather, it's a makom pater, because it's not 4x4 tfachim. And this is going like Rabbi Yochanan, who says that an area which is less than 4x4 tfachim between a private and a public domain, people are allowed to adjust their loads in it, as long as they don't exchange, meaning transfer from domain to domain through it, which is why people can, you know, you could take from the poor or the owner, but you can't give it from the poor to the owner and from the owner to the poor, things like that, in this threshold. The Braisa concludes by saying you can't take things from the owner and give it to the poor, and you can't take things from the poor and give it to the owner. But if they all did it, all three of them, but if they did do this, all three of them would be putter. So this seems to disprove Rava, who says that if you're carrying an object in a public domain, and it's for, if you carry an object in a public domain, and you hold it above 10 tefachim, meaning you hold it up high, you're chayav. Meaning even though the object was above 10 tefachim in a public domain, and that's a makom pater, you'd still be chayav because you transported it, technically you were in the public domain. However, our brisa seems to disprove that, because in Rava's case, he doesn't care that the object went through a makom pater. However, in our Braisa, it does care that the object went through a makom pater, because it says that all three would be pater if they did this. Meaning they shouldn't do it to begin with, but if they did it, they would be pater. But Rava says you'd be chayav even if it went through a makom pater. However, our Braisa is not necessarily a disproof, because our Braisa is talking about a case where the object came to rest in the threshold. Rava's case is where the object didn't come to rest in the makom pater, so therefore that's why he says you are chayav shkayach.